Some of you are new to Cornerstone. Some of you don't know what we're doing here, but we are making our way through the Gospel of John. Every Sunday, I'm preaching on a particular portion of the Gospel of John. And set before us today is one of the most intimate pictures of Jesus found anywhere in the Scripture. For the last several sermons and some time in the Gospel, Jesus has been teaching his disciples. He had told them precious things that they needed to know before he was crucified, resurrected, and then ascended to the Father. When he finished his teaching, he invited his disciples to join him in prayer. The Bible says simply that when Jesus was finished teaching, he looked towards heaven and he prayed. Now, just a couple of observations about what's happening here. Number one, the scripture says that Jesus looked toward heaven. All that it means is that Jesus assumed the normal attitude of prayer. In the Baptist churches, we would say, every head bowed and every eye closed. Okay? It's that kind of moment. He was simply inviting his disciples to join him in prayer. Basically, he's done teaching. And he says to his disciples, to those he has just called friends, he says, pray with me. Pray with me. He was clearly inviting his disciples to join him in prayer. So observation number one. Sometimes prayer is just between us and the Lord. We go off by ourselves. Jesus says we should go into our closet. We go off to a private place and we just pour out our heart to the Lord. Sometimes prayer is private, just between us and God. But there are precious moments when prayer should be public. When the children of God should gather together to pray. Now I know some of us are afraid to speak our prayers in public. We think somehow that our prayer is going to sound inadequate in the ears of other people. We are just reluctant to share our prayers. Okay, I remember sometimes, some of you remember Janet Gill. Okay, dear sweet little Janet. Okay, and I remember one day, this is years ago, before we were even in this building, Janet came and she said to me that she wanted to pray out loud, but she was afraid to do it. Okay, people had told Janet that she was basically inadequate, that she didn't speak well, except Janet was a lovely lady. None of that was true. And she said to me, I want to pray out loud, but I'm afraid. Is it okay if I write it down first and then read it? Okay, and I had to tell you, I told her yes, and it was in spiritual growth group, and I'll never forget the first prayer that Janet ever offered publicly. I sat and wept. She wrote it down, but the words she shared came out of her heart. That's what public prayer is all about. The children of God sharing their heart with each other and with our Father. Just last Thursday morning, just so in case you don't know this, every Thursday morning at 6:30 in the morning, a bunch of us gather to pray together at Harry's restaurant. You're all invited to come. You just show up. You pay for your own breakfast, and we pray together in fellowship. You can come, okay? Now, we're sitting there praying. We had our time. We prayed together, and some guys... And I got to tell you, they did not look like they were going to pray. They were kind of, those who were there, right? They were kind of like scary looking guys. Street people, okay? Not nice people like us, you know. They sort of made you feel uncomfortable. And I kind of wonder what their reaction would be to our praying. Okay, and there was no reaction. They didn't say a word. But when their breakfast came, they bowed their heads and prayed. they said thank you to God for the meal that they were enjoying. And I said across the room, amen, brothers. And they all gave me thumbs up. Okay? So you never know who you're going to find. But there are times when we just need to share our hearts publicly with each other, in our prayers, with each other to the Father. That's what Jesus is doing here. It's why it's such a beautiful moment. He says to his friends, come on, let's pray. And then he opens his heart to them. Jesus showed the disciples his heart by praying with them. Now, there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus was a passionate teacher. Just because I'm having a humble moment, he was even a better teacher than me. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus' disciples were moved by his teaching. I have no doubt that Jesus was able to touch the disciples' hearts and their minds when he taught them. But in this prayer, Jesus literally shows them his heart. He shows them his deep concern for them. This is an intimate moment, because in his prayer, Jesus shows his disciples his heart. Now, I want you to understand, it's not a formal moment. Okay, if you go back to Matthew and you look at the Lord's Prayer, that's a formal prayer. Okay, what's happening here is not like that. And all prayer doesn't have to be formal and wrapped up in the formalities of it. He just opens his heart and lets his friends see what's inside. It's wonderful. And number three, third observation, Jesus is our example. Right? As his disciples, we should be sharing times of prayer together. And our prayers should simply show what's in our hearts. We do not need to be afraid to open our hearts to each other, particularly not in prayer. Now, scholars call this section of the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter of John, the high priestly prayer. They call it that because in this prayer, Jesus acts as our high priest. Now, the role of the priest is to intercede for the people before God. And in his prayer, Jesus assumes that attitude of intercession, which is common to all priests. Here he is praying for the church. And the prayer can easily be divided into four parts. There are four requests. Request number one, Jesus prays for his glorification. Request number two, Jesus prays for the protection of believers. Request number three, Jesus prays for the sanctification of believers. And request number four, Jesus prays for the unity and ministry of the church. Now, beginning today and for the next 4 weeks, we're going to deal with each one of Jesus' requests in turn. In these requests, what you need to remember is that our Lord is opening his heart to the disciples with whom he first prayed, but also to us. So let me now take the first request, the prayer for glorification, apart. The first thing you have to notice is Jesus' address to God. When he speaks to God, Jesus calls him Father. Now, as we make our way through the prayer, Jesus is going to add two other adjectives to the name Father in other portions of the prayer. But when he opens the prayer, when he starts to involve his disciples in praying with him, he simply calls God Father. Now, first of all, the word Father, the name Father, is a title of respect. This is for my boys. Okay? They need to understand that I am Father and that therefore they should not tease me mercilessly at the dinner table because I wrote things wrong in my sermon. Okay? We are obligated to respect, to honor our parents. The scripture says so. It's what God calls upon us to do. Now, they may not have been the best parents. In fact, they may have been crummy parents. They may have done it all wrong, but nonetheless, we still are required by our allegiance to God to give respect to our parents. And as our Heavenly Father, we are required to respect God. But the term father is not only a term of respect, it is a term of relationship, which is why what Cheryl did this morning at the beginning of the service, if you didn't see it, you want to stay and watch it next time, is so appropriate. Okay, all of us live in relationship with each other. And God, the only God, the ruler of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, must be respected because he holds all power. But even while we are respecting him and standing in awe of him, he is inviting us to live in a special, intimate relationship with him. He wants us to be his children. He wants us to call him Father. Not me alone, not Duck, not the elders of the church, every one of us. God wants to live in an intimate relationship with each one of us. He wants to be considered our Father. Not distant, not far off, not in reserve alone, but in relationship. God is inviting each one of us to come close. And then second, notice that as Jesus begins the prayer, he acknowledges that the hour has come. The moment has come when the plan of God to bring salvation to the world will be accomplished, and this will be done through the glorification of the Son. This plan will require Jesus to lay down his life in obedience to God. And the laying down of his life will require him to suffer before he dies. It must be done for God's plan to be accomplished. And Jesus knows beyond any shadow of a doubt that the moment has come for that to happen. Now, we all want life to be free of pain, don't we? We all want it to be easy and smooth. We would prefer to be rich and happy. But the fact of the matter is that that's not what life is like. It was not even like that for the Son of God himself when he was here on earth. There will be chapters of life which we don't particularly like. We may even find ourselves sometimes bearing pain that we would prefer to be free of. But the secret is to come to those moments, as Jesus does in this prayer, submit it to the will of God for the sake of the glory of God. And then third, note that that Jesus' glorification is not for Jesus' sake. Now, when I get glorified, I want to be glorified. Okay? I want you to look at me and know that I have been touched by God and I am now glorified. Okay, get it? But it doesn't work that way. The Son will be glorified by bringing glory to the Father. By accepting his place in God's plan, which means Jesus has to suffer and die, but in obedience to the Father, by glorifying God, through God's plan to save us, the Son will be glorified. The Son will be glorified by playing his part in God's plan, through which eternal life will be offered to all humanity. Jesus said to God, "I have brought you glory by finishing the work you gave me to do." frankly, should be our goal in life. Not to please ourselves, not to collect stuff that makes us happy, not even to escape the moments of suffering and pain which life will bring us, but to do everything we do in obedience to the Word of God, so that when at last we lay it down, we hear those words from His lips, "Well done, good and faithful servant." See, it is by obedience to the will of the Father that we ourselves become glorified. Now, the fourth thing you have to note in the prayer is that Jesus declares that He is the only way to God. "This is eternal life," He says, "to know God through Jesus Christ the Son." Now, I don't know some of you. Some of you I know really well. And all I can tell all of you is if you are sitting here today thinking that you are getting into heaven any other way through Jesus Christ, I don't care who says it out in the world, you and they are wrong. The Scripture declares it over and over again. The Gospel of John rings with the truth. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ the Son. And unless you embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you will not go to heaven. Now, I can't say it any more clearly than that. It's what the Bible says over and over again. You may not like it. You may want it to be some way. You may want to, when you get there, have a really big argument with God, but you'll lose. The only way to enter the kingdom of God is through the Son. Stop fighting it and surrender. It is the first step in glorifying God through obedience. You have to give in and accept Jesus Christ. And then the last thing. Notice that Jesus' glorification will restore him to his proper place in heaven. Even now. I'm smiling as I say it. Even now, as I speak to you, He is with the Father in heaven. And there, standing next on the right side of God's throne, standing next to the Father, He continues to whisper in the Father's ear. He continues to intercede for the saints. He continues to beg God for the benefit of the church. He talks to God about you, and He talks to God about me. He wants us to know that He remains our high priest. He has not surrendered the title. He even now is praying for you and me. Now listen to me. Who better to pray for you to the Father than the Son? Even now, He speaks into the ear of the Father. He whispers your name, and He whispers mine. Jesus continues to pray for you and for me.